Chris and Jim Bull. I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission.
This conference will now be recorded.
All right. I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Residential Construction Cost Impact Work Group meeting, June 29th, 2021. Just want to remind us, everybody, it's a small group, but in general, just be aware of background noise, and when you're not speaking, it helps if you mute, but please don't put your phones on hold. Please wait until I invite you to speak. Everybody will obviously have the opportunities to speak, but this keeps it manageable, especially in the virtual world. Somebody else just joined by phone. If you'd identify yourself, please.
This is David John.
All right, caller number 5 is David John. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
All righty. With that, I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call to make sure that we have our quorum. Lee Arsenal. Lee is here.
Yes, I'm here.
Alan Vermillion.
Yeah, I'm here.
He's here. We know David Hillman will not be here. Mike Kesey.
Here.
Ray Puziatello.
Here.
Drew Smith.
Here.
Bill Smock. All right, Jeremy Stewart.
Here.
And Brian Walsh.
Here.
All right, well, we have 7 of 9 members, so we do have a quorum, so we're free to proceed. So the agenda is to approve the May 24th meeting minutes, and then to approve the agenda. We'll hear get an update on the work plan, this group's work plan, as well as the commission's, and then I'm going to lead us to a discussion on reviewing the comments that have been put together regarding those particular residential I-code changes that have a cost impact. What we're going to do is I'm going to go through and test sort of each one based on the comments that were received, other comments, or just other things that you want to, other amendments you want to review. And then at the very end, we'll just have, instead of having like 50 separate motions, we'll have one motion at the end to adopt the package, the work group's package of comments to submit for our technical advisory committee. So that's the agenda. Is there any questions on it? If not, I'd ask for a motion to approve the agenda as posted by name.
So, Alan, yes. To approve.
All right, we have Alan with motion. Who made the second?
Drew
Smith made the second. We have a motion to second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? It's unanimous. The May 24th, the meeting we had that was sort of an orientation meeting, May 24th, 2021, the minutes were linked to the agenda, so you've had a chance to review them. Unless there's any revisions or changes to that, is there a motion to approve the minutes from the May 24th meeting?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
All right, that's Lee makes the motion.
Second, Drew.
Second from Drew. We have a motion to second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. So just checking before we get started, if anybody joined the call, any of our members, which would only be Bill Smock, since we took roll call. I don't see it, Bill, on, so we'll proceed from there. Okay, Mo's going to review the work group's work plan, the commission's work plan, then turn it back to me, and we'll start the process of reviewing the comments. Mo?
Hey, yeah, good morning. This is Mo Medani. Jim, can you share the screen with me? All right. Let's see here. Can you see my screen?
Yes, we can see it now.
All right. first, as was stated by Jeff, we're going to go over the work plan. It's very straightforward. As you know, we have looked at this work plan before. The objective of your task is to discuss and provide comments to the commission regarding impactful code changes to the 7 edition 2020 FBC residential. And what we're dealing with today is item number A, review the 2021 changes to the International Residential Code and provide comments on practical code changes. The schedule, as you see, we held our first meeting. It was May 24th, and then today we're holding the meetings to review the I-code changes 2021. The next step would be to will be next year to review the proposed code changes to the for the update of the 2023 FBC. That's really the work plan. So we're gonna go out of here and let's see here, and I'm gonna use our system for the commission work plan, which has been revised a little bit. So I'm gonna go to this is where the page which has everything we do with regard to the update to the 2023 Florida Building Code. In there, there is a work plan, as you recall, we did go through it last time. The work plan for the putting together the Florida Building Code, it consists of several tasks. It's a lengthy work plan. It takes about 3 years to go through it. It started with the selection of the model code, which was done February 9th, 2021. The commission selected the 2021 I code, model code, and the 2020 NEC to conduct this review. The review of the model code changes, as you've seen or we have done, the staff did mainly boast all the I-code monographs with staff analysis on the system. That was completed May 17. And as you know, we have given you and the general public 45 days to comment on the I-code changes. And today, as you see, there is your meeting 6:29, where you would review the comments submitted from the members. The 45-day comment period will end July 1, 2021. So if you're interested in providing comments on any other code changes or, you know, et cetera, you still have the opportunity to do that. The deadline is July 1. After the comment duration is ended, then a staff would update the system with all the comments submitted. And come August 2nd, staff will publish the tracking charts and the detail reports on the system in preparation for the technical advisory committee in September. The tracking chart would have mainly a summary of the code change and as a tracking for somebody to use to track the actions on the code changes from the tax side and so on. Also, the detail reports will have a detail reports will have the history of the code change. It will have all the information you have seen while you're doing the comment, meaning that who submitted the code change, the monographs, the rationale, the summary, plus you will see your comment there. So those will go into the TAC for consideration. The TAC meeting, the plan for the TAC is to meet September 22nd to the 30th, and then they will meet also October 1 through the 7th, 2021. The TAC at that point would provide recommendation to the commission on the code changes, they will have the option to ask the commission to reject certain code changes, and then or approve certain code changes, or they could recommend that specific code changes be either approved or rejected, with the understanding that it will be taken individually because of the fact maybe there is certain things that need to be further reviewed. At the commission meeting, which is will take after the tax mainly complete the review, then staff would update the building code information system, the code mod module, October 15, 2021, which will really mainly to upload the tax recommendation into the system. Then we will after that we will invite the general public to give them the opportunity to pull any of the iCode change. Mainly more efficient and all that. So, the commission, the plan for the commission is to meet December 14th and 15th. That's really the commission will take up the tax recommendation and all other comments associated with the tax recommendation. After the commission meeting, then we staff will update the system to enter the commission's action on the iCode changes, and that the plan is to do that by January 3rd, 2022. And then the next step would be to open the foundation code along with whatever iCode changes approved by the commission and so on, for the proposed code modification. So anybody can propose a code change on the amending the foundation code, which is the 2020 for the building code, or amend any of those iCode changes approved by the commission, or any code change that they feel fit they need to really submit. So that's really the process, and this is step two, is a lengthy, so we go through the same process. You'll have the opportunity also to provide your comment. As you see, there is a plan for you to provide comment to those code changes submitted during this what you call bar two of the process, and then ultimately the objective is to get the 2023 update for the building code to go into effect December 31st, 2023. This is the work plan. The other thing I want to touch on is one thing. With the meeting September 22nd, Wednesday, is a conference call for swimming pool tag. Then Thursday, September 23rd, for the accessibility tag, is a conference. Call, so you don't need to come, you just webinar, so you can. And go out. So 29th, Wednesday, where the fire tech would meet, and they will be taking up about 334 code changes. That will be on site. Their plan is to hold these on-site meetings in a central location, so stay tuned for the specific location. In terms of the, in September 30, we have the energy tech, which has like 266 code changes before them, and also will meet on-site. Mechanical tag, October 1, will meet on-site. The code admin will meet on-site on October 1st. Then the week after, we have October 4th, the electrical tag would meet first on-site, then followed by the roofing tag, then followed by the plumbing tag. Those will be also on-site. Then you have October 5th, the structural tag, which has 321 code changes. Which meet also on site. We also have really reserved certain days for a contingency plan. You know, these are conference call webinar in case, you know, the fire tech or the structural tech or the energy tech doesn't finish their work. We'll have those meetings available for them to finish their work as you see via conference call webinar. Any question about the work plan, about the commission work plan, about the schedule of the meetings. All right. Well, that's what I have for you. So, Jeff, if you want to take it from here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mo. Jim, if you'd let me share the screen, please. somebody joined the call while Mo was going over the documents. Would you identify yourself, please? There's a caller number 6 or something along those lines.
Bill Smock joined the call a little while ago. I'm not sure if I'm caller number 6 or someone else.
Okay, well, great, Bill. So you're here. We'll make a note of that. So caller number 6 is Bill Smock. So we have everybody we expected to have today on. Very good. All right, you're seeing my screen, and you know, Mo prepared this nice spreadsheet with all the different components of it. So what I want to do is kind of go through it. So, excuse me. So one thing to realize is that some of these are, as Mo described previously at our last meeting, they correlate directly, and those are the ones that the TACs are going to be reviewing. The commission at their June meeting voted unanimously to instruct the TACs to recommend denial of all of those that are overlaps, irrespective of whether they support them or not, because they basically amend the Florida language in the Florida code. It doesn't follow the code directly. And so it'll be incumbent upon proponents to submit those for phase two that Mo described that will start in January. So there really isn't a lot of reason for us to spend time on those today. Your comments are there, and you'll have enough. And once code amendments are submitted, this group will meet again next year and have a chance to provide comments on those that were submitted, which some of these will have been overlaps. Now, your comments will still be available, and we'll do that at that time. So what I'd like to do is focus on ones that correlate directly, because those are the ones the TACs are going to be making recommendations to the commission on either to approve or deny them. Okay, before we start, I did want to ask one question. Alan, did you also have an opportunity to review David Hillman's? He had 13 structural and 3 roofing that were correlated directly. Did you have a chance? Did you do those or look at those?
He only sent me 4, so I looked at the 4 of them. I didn't know there was more than that.
Okay, so anyway, you did look at what I guess Mo determined were the ones that might have some cost impacts.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, well then we're going to start we'll start with Brian Walsh. You know, he looked at 1 accessibility that was an overlap and 4 special occupancy ones, and we'll get to those as we go through here. So Brian provided a comment on this one. This is an overlap, and it will be reviewed in the next cycle if somebody submits it, that is. So Brian, did you want to say anything on this?
No, it was fairly straightforward, but in some or in a lot of cases, I guess, people estimating the cost, they forget the ancillary aspects, and they look at the test itself only, and there'll be additional cost. So I figured a true cost was closer to $500 or $600 a house.
Okay, great. Does anybody else want to have anything to say on that? All right. Bill Smock reviewed 34 correlated directly, and one was an overlap in the plumbing. It looks to me like none of those had any real cost impact. If some have, may even had cost reduction. So,
correct.
Bill, is there anything else you want to add, or does anybody want to make any comments regarding those particular one, plumbing ones that you reviewed?
No, I don't think I need to add anything. I think generally rule of thumb, they're all good things. I mean, I hate seeing fire sprinklers being codified in the Florida code, but another international code. But you know, it's an area that if someone is going to do residential fire sprinklers and makes that choice, then at least, you know, there's guidelines that are going to protect the homeowner for sizing and proper distribution of heads. So that being said, everything else, I think, are generally good codes. The recirculating hot water issue is probably going to be a hot topic. I know it's been in the plumbing code book for the last code cycle, but not on the residential side. So if that's going to actually get pushed on the residential side, we're probably going to see organizations like the Florida Home Builders Association saying, why are we doing this? I know it's a huge energy code efficiency, and as a plumber, I completely understand why it needs to be done. So that's my only two cents I have to put in.
Okay.
Alan, I thought the recirculation was added in the last code. You had to be within 100 feet of the source.
It's in the plumbing code, book, but because it's not included in the residential section, it's a 50-foot run and not a 100-foot run. That 50-foot rule has been codified in the commercial plumbing code book, but almost all municipalities across the state have basically decided that since that rule is not specifically stated in the residential plumbing section of the residential code book, that they're not going to enforce it for residential construction. By putting it in the residential section, now it's essentially going to require any home over 1,800 square feet to have a recirculating hot water system. So, I mean, by and large, that's fairly impactful.
Tom, were you trying to say? Sorry, Tom. No. Okay. Sorry. Who wants to speak?
This is Lee Arsenault. I have a question.
Sure. Go ahead.
What is the effect when you have a natural gas water heater that's piped directly in from the outside? The gas is feeding it, and every time water runs through that water heater, it energizes it. Basically, it turns it on and heats water. So, wouldn't a recirculating loop in that case be problematic? Or is
no? Most condensing heaters and your plumbers are going to specify a condensing heater.
Let me take down your name and phone.
Renavian, the Renai.
It's okay.
Tom, can you mute yourself, please?
Hey, I got the phone just out of hand and just out of habit. So I'll hit a bar.
Thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
All right.
Bill.
The condensing heaters that have the built-in recirculating pumps, they have thermostats built into them, and the pump will operate as long as the temperature is maintained. and it'll fire up when the temperature drops below that desired temperature. So there is a little bit of extra heating going on, but minimal. And in all reality, by doing this, you're going to see the savings of potable water within the residential section in the tens of millions of gallons every year because of the loss of water waiting for hot water in these larger homes that choose not to be recirculating hot water. I mean, whether or not it's our job to decide that happens, that's not my call. I recognize it as being a valuable asset for one of our most valuable commodities and the biggest arguments in construction is that where's the water going to come from? And if we can show we're greatly reducing the wasted water, that's just the responsible way to go.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lee. All right, anything else on these plumbing ICO changes? Anybody? All right. Well, thank you, Bill. We'll go to Brian now on special occupancy. This ticker 8699 indicates that there might be a cost impact. Go ahead, Brian, if you'd like to speak to that.
Well, as I was reading it, it was a little bit confusing. So based on the situation that I was running through my head, you know, it's possible that you'd have widely varying costs, so very difficult to put a number on it.
All right. Did you as a group want to try to come up with a number? Is anybody familiar enough to feel like they could provide a reasonable analysis?
As I was reading, it really wasn't that impactful, but still hard to put a dollar on it.
Okay, so you don't think it's a major cost, but it might be one. All right. Mo, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, this is a flood requirement, and by law we are required to mainly bring it into the code as part of the FEMA and the flood insurance program, just for your note.
Okay, right. So statutory, this is going in no matter what. So very good. Thanks, Mo. Okay. Bill also took it upon himself to review a couple of plumbing mods, actually plumbing ICO changes. And it looks like, you know, one of them would save money. And then the other one, that it's more of a comment than any cost analysis specifically. Bill, did you want to say anything on those two or?
No, I think I'm good with the comments that I posted.
Okay. And all of the comments will be submitted. All right, Mike reviewed 20 correlated directly and 43 that were overlaps and pretty much, I guess, focusing on correctly on those that correlate directly. It really looks like none of those had any cost impacts. Mike, you want to?
No, everything was mainly clarification and wording, so there wasn't any real cost. It was just cleaning up the language that was inside of them. So,
okay. Does anybody else want to comment on any of these special occupancy? Okay. Then we will go to back to Bill again and looking at some additional plumbing ones. The one that might have a cost is 9408. And so did you want to speak to this, Bill?
If you do me a favor, I'm actually away from my desk, which was 9408.
So this is one that you say, because the vast majority of homes in Florida locate the water heater in the garage, they might have a cost of $1,200 to $1,800 if they were installed correctly with the insulated loop and pump system.
That's the hot water, the circulating system, which we already touched on.
Okay. But in this case, this is the first time that we've actually seen a cost associated with it, so that's helpful.
Right.
folks, are you good with that cost? Other members of the group, anybody have any thoughts or concerns about that? Because that will be the comment that will provide the tax with the cost, with what the projected cost increase would be.
The only question would be, what if there's a more than one, you know, water heater? Would that double the cost?
If you're doing more than one water heater, then you're not, you know, you're basically splitting the system, and recirculating systems won't be required. So that's the catch-all. But, you know, in tank communities or natural gas or propane communities where you're going to go tankless, you know, the added cost of the heater and the gas generally far exceeds the cost of adding a recirculating system.
All right. Any other comments on that? All right. Well, now we will move in then to the energy code. And Drew took on a Herculean effort here and reviewed 52 correlated directly and 69 overlaps. And there's a... the ones on correlated directly, there's a series of those here. There's also an addendum which adds an additional five, but those I believe are mostly overlaps, but we'll get to that in a second. So on this first one, 8955, Drew, you want to speak to that?
No, I think my explanation is pretty clear unless somebody has any questions.
Okay. Anybody have any comments on the cost? Drew's estimating between $200 and $1,500 depending on type of system. If everybody's good with that as the work group's comment, otherwise feel free to speak up.
This is Alan. I'm sorry. I didn't read code modification, so just reading the comments, I'm not exactly sure what all of them are. But I know when we looked at whole house mechanical ventilation, if that's what it is, I mean, those ERV systems can run a lot more than $1,500. So I'm not sure if that applies to this, Drew. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, based on 80% or 90% of the what we see, that's the additional. That's what I've always found to be the additional cost. And the $200 is to go with the fan control switches. So that's kind of the low end of the spectrum. Okay. But we can raise that if you want to raise it.
I mean, I'll just tell you, we priced them out.
What's the number?
Our cost, we'd sell it to the homeowners for probably $3,000 or $3,200.
Just to be clear, Alan, is that above and beyond what would be already being spent? I think Drew's trying to come up with a differential. Is that what you're doing as well?
I didn't read this. This code change, so I'm not exactly sure what it is just by looking at his explanation. So I don't know. I don't know if we're supposed to read every single one of them. I only read the ones that were assigned to me.
Well, yeah.
This is Mama Donnie. I know we did NRDs in the system, but there is still time if somebody feels that.
Well, I'll go back and read through these. I don't want to slow down the meeting with my questions. I apologize if
you
want to read the assignment.
Okay, well, I guess the best thing then, yeah, I mean, we're here to change it now if folks want to change it, but if you want to submit another comment, you know, if you find that it's different, you can submit it, but this will be the official comment, I think, at the group at this time.
I'm good with that. I trust Drew.
All right. The next one is 8576, and Drew provided an increase of about $1 square foot to insulate the edges of the concrete slab and possibly stem walls. But Drew, feel free to step in. If you're comfortable with the comment and anybody has any questions. Again, the assumption, the silence is affirmation, but I want to test that everybody's comfortable with these numbers and feels like this is the reasonable.
Yeah, and that's a bad one for Florida anyway, because there's your potential roadway for termite infestation is up behind that edge insulation. It works in non-termite areas, but man, that's a dangerous one in Florida.
And that's, Jeff, I was going to ask if you were going to take public comment, because that was exactly what I was questioning, because that always comes up when I teach and whatnot. And, Drew, did you have a chance at all to check with any other quote-unquote experts? Because I half wonder if, you know, we should check with entomology at UF about to confirm that it's the pathway for termites. They don't necessarily eat the stuff, but last I knew from who I knew at UF when we were teaching this, they love to live in it.
Yeah, they exactly, and they use it as a roadway path up behind it, to right up into the. If there ends up then being some type of crack in the slab or between the slab and the block, if they can find their way in, yes, they'll live in it and then find a way inside the house. So, because you can't inspect, that's the problem, is the edge insulation goes down below grade, and so there's no way to inspect for termite infestation or intrusion.
Right. Jeff. Well, so what I'm going to make a comment here. I'm going to add to this that increases termite intrusion potential, so that will be there for the TAC to review. This is it's just no different than having, you know, stucco bands below grade, which cause all those termite problems. So I don't know, you know, we'll make that comment to the TAC so they have that information.
Jeff, just a question about this. Was this work group tasked at all, or will anybody be tasked to look at conflicts between a code change and another part of the code?
Yeah, if it's an overlap, the TAC has been instructed to recommend denial at this time, and somebody will have to submit it as a code amendment next time. So only those that correlate directly will be recommended for approval or denial. All those that are overlaps are recommended for denial at this point, and then somebody will have to submit the code in phase two, and at that point there'll be an opportunity to really look at it, and this group will also have a chance to review it again.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so we'll add this one comment. The group, you're good with adding increases termite intrusion potential. I added that in bold so that it can be added into the system.
Yep, it looks good.
Okay, so the next one is 8992. It'll add an additional cost of $150 for pull-down attic stairs. Anything to say, Drew?
No, I believe this is the one for insulating the attic accesses or hatches, and most of the builders are not using insulated ones currently, so, you know, just checking and doing research to go to one that actually has insulation built in would be at least $150.
Anybody, work group member, any comments or concerns? Does that seem reasonable?
Just a quick question. Are we looking at just pure costs, or are we looking at the effective cost to the homeowner once the builder has to mark it up? You know, that everybody has to mark it up to cover the sales commissions and the profit, the cost of money, blah, blah, blah. Are we just pure costs?
No, what we agreed to last year, or, you know, couple years ago now, and what I said at the last meeting when we gave these assignments is that you should try to determine what the end cost to the consumer will be. So whatever markup and overheads that would be involved, try to include those. So we're looking at the actual cost that the consumer will pay once the builder and once the framer, whoever is involved in it, you know, does it. Well, the framer shouldn't have any difference on that installation. But, you know, so the final cost to the consumer.
Quick question. Was that just insulating that, or was it requiring attic stairs?
If there was attic stairs, as opposed to just a attic hatch, which has to have insulation at the same R value as the rest of the attic. This is just for pull down stairs, because currently, quite a few out there have no insulation. And there's no way to put insulation on them unless you buy one that's already insulated. But there's a specific R value to insulate attic stairs, which is less than what your attic insulation is. So the you know, they recognize that you can't match that same R value. If you got R38 in the attic, there's no way you can get R38 on the attic stairs, but I believe it's like an R6 or something that goes on the attic stairs.
So it's the cost to buy the difference between a normal, an uninsulated to an insulated set of attic stairs, basically.
Correct. Yeah, and it's got typically the insulated ones also have weather stripping, so they seal tighter.
Okay. Any other comments on that? All right. So the next one is 8996, and Drew's estimating that. The cost would be approximately $1 square foot of living area. Drew, anything to say on that?
No, good, Jeff.
Anybody have any comments, questions, or concerns? All right, 9017, increasing the energy efficiency of a home by tightening the envelope leakage. Well, Drew's analysis is $75 to $300 per home. Due to the upgraded box, and that would be based on about a 2,000 square foot home, so the analysis would carry through. Questions, comments? Everybody good with that, basically?
Can I make a comment here? I think on some of these other ones we talked about, maybe we do add based on the size of the house, because the whole house ventilation, I'm sure Drew's looking at the standard, some production size houses, where Alan was talking probably about their bigger homes with a lot more square footage. So I think we need to set some sort of parameters of cost per house, per square foot of house, based on a house size. So I think the way he added that, based on a 2,000 square foot house, is something when we give them fixed numbers that it would cost would depend on the size of the house.
Yeah, and I pretty much did all of mine based on a 2,000 square foot house just to keep consistent. But yeah, I agree with you. We probably need to add that comment to all of them. Jeff, 200. You got 200. 2,000.
Yep. Thanks. That won't make any difference. That one's got its own thing. That's already got it in there. All right, well, we're on 9036, which you're coming up with. Due to the type of water heaters used in Florida, it'll cost an increase of $500 to $2,000 per home, and I just added based on a 2,000 square foot home. Anybody have any questions or comments on that? Okay. This next one here is 9042. I'm not sure what it is, but it will increase the cost of construction from $150 to $2,500 based on the type of system. Drew, do you have anything to add to that?
No, no additional comments. It's really hard, Jeff, you know, to remember all of these without having that cross-reference of what each one of these changes is, so it's right. A bit of a blur, and I can't pull them up quick enough to be able to give you a back cross-reference.
Okay. If anybody wants that, you know, that's the possibility, or if you're comfortable that the person that, you know, that reviewed it, I mean, this is Drew's specialty, so, but I'll leave it to the group. Okay, so the next one is 9047. This one you identified based on standard AHU furnace fan motors. The cost of construction will increase $500 on a 2,000 square foot home. So that's already identified the square footage. And I think you identified pretty well the issue. So anybody have any questions, comments about that? All right. The next one is 9041. And Drew's estimating it will increase the cost of construction from approximately $50 to $100 per home. And I'll add in the comment about the square footage. Anybody have any questions or comments on any of these that we're just so far? All right, the next one is 9058, adding approximately 20 cents per square foot on low-rise multifamily projects. Anybody have any questions or comments on that?
I don't think you want to add based on a 2,000 square foot home on that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Thanks. Correct. It's already based on square footage, so it doesn't matter. Not relevant. Okay, the next one is 9060. The cost will increase from $50 to $100 per home. That one should have the comment on 2,000 square foot home. Feel free to ask questions or comment as we go. Otherwise, I'm just going to assume that folks are reasonably comfortable with this. Well, that was completely backwards there. All right. The next one is 8922. $1,000to at least $1,500 per home will be the increased cost of this energy code, I code change, if adopted into the Florida Building Code. All right. 9057 increased the cost by approximately $500 per home. Again, making the assumption that no comments means that you're good with it. All right. 9070. That will be $100 to provide additional report. That would not be based on the size of a home. Any comments on that? 9082 will add approximately $50 to $100 home to the cost. Here, you want to speak to this one?
I'm trying to remember what it was for.
It says it may claim the environmental attributes of an on-site renewable energy system. The proposal impacts those who may claim the environmental attributes of an on-site renewable energy system. Cost unknown.
Yeah, it was something to do with I don't remember if it was solar water or solar electric.
That didn't have to be with wiring in order to have a system versus ones that are actually putting it in.
No. Mo, is there a quick way to just pull?
Yeah, I already typed it. It's a 9083. The proposal impact, the summary is, who may claim the environmental attributes of an on-site renewable energy system. You can put the number of the code change, it'll come up on the system. It's okay. Defined, it, defined renewable energy certificate, and it provides, it says renewable energy certificate documentation where on-site renewable energy is included in the calculation of ERI. This is the energy rate.
Right. Okay, this is where you, yeah, this is the one where you buy renewable energy certificates. But it's based on how large the system is. So the cost could vary quite a bit, because it could be anywhere from 5 kW system to 30 kW system, depending on the size of the house.
Jeff, may I ask a question?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Drew, does this have any impact in potential carbon trading in the future, or is it strictly just what's going on with the system? I'm not as familiar with this.
That I can't answer, Arlene. That I'm not sure. It possibly could have carbon trading ramifications down the road, yeah, because it's a renewable energy certificate. So it could become a tradable commodity.
Essentially, though, this is if you're using the ERI compliance method, so it's sort of an optional thing that somebody would select because they're interested in the energy component of it more than they are probably the cost piece of it. Wouldn't you say, Drew?
Yes.
So it may not be something that's critical, other than to make a note that it's going to cost more as far as providing any specifics, because it sounds like, it's a choice that a builder and or homeowners made for a more energy efficient, alternative energy sources.
May I ask one other question?
Okay, go ahead.
So, Drew, this also goes to how our energy code is set up versus supply versus demand. Is this more of a supply side measure as opposed to a demand? Because we've certainly dealt more with demand in the overall code in the past.
Correct. More toward the supply side.
So basically, it sounds like this isn't one we necessarily need to make a notation. This will be in there that there is a cost increase, but again, it's a method of using a compliance method, which is ERI, the Energy Rating Index. Okay, next is EN 8936. The cost will be the cost of allocating 8 square foot of living space. So they're obviously requiring some piece of equipment to be in conditioned space. Is that it, Drew?
That would be correct.
All right. Do we want to try to put a number to that, or I guess it would be sort of the square footage based on the square footage of the house, although it probably wouldn't be as much as most of the house, because it's just going to be, it's not going to be have other stuff in it, but.
Yeah, it's basically a space to put a battery backup system, energy storage system.
Okay.
Which doesn't necessarily have to go inside the living space, but that's the way this is inferred and written.
Okay.
Do we have any information
Arlene, please.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is, it's a work group discussion.
Thank you.
I'm happy to take your questions and comments, but I need you to kind of follow the procedure. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
All right. Okay. I'm going to jump for a second here, let me just make a note here so I know where to come back to. Drew also provided Mo added an addenda to the your documentation on 5 additional energy ones that cost increases. Four of them do. One of them is the savings, but they're all overlaps. And if they come back at the next cycle, these comments will be here. But I just wanted you to be aware of those. So if somebody submits these as code amendments during phase two, then again, you'll have an opportunity as a work group to review and provide comments to the technical advisory committees. But we'll have Drew's comments already done. So, all right.
So, then, Jeff, can I
sure.
based off of what Drew has presented, you know, on the energy on a 2,000 square foot house, if all of these are accepted, I mean, we're just shy of $20,000 increase on a 2,000 square foot house.
Yeah, I was seeing that too.
Drew, you want to speak to that? I mean, some of it might be optional, but I'm not sure. Drew, go ahead.
Yeah, not all of them. A lot of this is duplication, so they're alternates in some aspects. So it wouldn't be such an aggregate. I would say you're probably looking at least 10,000 if they were all approved, because some of this stuff overlaps. It's an either or situation in certain instances.
This is Mom and Donnie. I just need to be considered also. Some of these code changes even cover an appendices, which is an optional, something that you have either in order to be used has to be adopted locally.
Right.
The other thing is that there is a number of methods within the energy code that's prescriptive. There's the performance, there's energy rating system. It depends on which one you're using and what option you're using. So it's really, it depends. I don't think really you can put a number without going through each method and see how. There is a study was done for the Energy Center, which was reviewed last Friday. It does go through these code changes, and it does give you some kind of a cost-benefit analysis on them. So if for further study and, you know, just information, I think, the report is available from our website. On the code mod page, we did post the reports for residential and for commercial. So that's another tool you can look at and see what would be the impact in general.
Well, this is Alan. Did they break it up per the path that's used? Like, this is the impact per prescriptive. This might be the impact per performance or no?
Yeah, they did touch on each method of compliance and also they got into the cost benefit. And they pointed out which code changes are cost effective for, which is really very few. So you can look at it. Their program, the Energy Gauge USA, and did the analysis on it.
Jeff, may I make a comment?
Go ahead.
Part of what was also in the study was at what point were the provisions cost effective over the savings of the house? And I would be interested, I'm not sure if, you know, there's a way to correlate what the actual numbers that this work group did versus if those numbers that FREC used are within the same frame of reference, or if that changes some of the payback time. But the report certainly did include the payback and whether or not there was a cost benefit over a reasonable lifetime of the house.
Okay. All right, and you know, in addition, Florida is required by statute to maintain a certain level of efficiency relative to their federal requirements, so that has to be analyzed, and FSEC will do that once the tax make their recommendations on code amendments to see, make sure that the package does overall comply with the requirements. Drew also reviewed an additional four overlaps, or maybe five, four, and I just wanted to point those out down here because I'll skip them when we get there. But basically, they identify a cost increase, except for one of those, and those will be, for the next phase. All right, we're going to move on to mechanical. Alan reviewed 25, four overlaps, and some have cost impacts. We'll start with 9334. You want to speak to this, Alan, or, you know, however you want to handle it?
Yeah, from memory, it was just the cost of adding a vent to the outside in the kitchen. So from your microwave or from, you know, hood exhaust, that's the cost to do so or deduct it.
Okay. So it could be a decrease of 150 or an increase depending on...
It says that if there's a window in the kitchen, then natural ventilation would meet that requirement. So if, currently, if you have you have a window in the kitchen, you're not getting that credit, then you can deduct the exhaust to the outside, so you'd save 150. So if you don't, if you had to add it, it would increase the cost by $150.
Anybody have any questions or comments on that? All right, the next is $93.35, a cost increase of $10. Alan, feel free.
It's just adding a label to, I think, again, this is from memory. I'm a mechanical override for, it's adding a label to a mechanical override to the fresh air intake. I was just labeling that switch.
Okay. Questions or comments? All right. The next one is $93.14, a cost increase of about $40.
You have to install support within 3 feet of the condensing unit. And so it's just the cost of strapping that down. Where right now, it's basically floating from the condensing unit to the house. If it's more than 3 feet, it's just adding things to attach it to, blocks to strap it to.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments? All right. Next is $93.38. Cost increase of $300 to $500, depending on length of run. Go ahead, Alan.
It's a supply or return duct. If you don't use a duct, if you use a runway between trusses and the floor joists or something like that, it says you have to seal that return. That's when you don't use ducts, so it's the cost of sealing, you know, the drywall to the wood trusses for the length of that run. And it depends on the length of the run. Even in a 2,000-square-foot home or a townhome, usually they do this in multifamily. That can vary depending on the length of the run.
All right. Anybody have any comments on that? All right. Thank you, Alan. We already went over Drew's, and we'll continue with you on you also reviewed a couple of extra, another fire, and 8895, additional fire testing.
Go ahead. Yeah, they said that right now they're only having the fire test the front and the back, or two sides, and now they want to test all four sides. So it's additional fire testing on the material, but I can't determine how that costs. Impact of no testing is going to impact the price of the material, or if it will, in the big picture.
Does anybody have any thoughts, questions, or any ideas on what it might cost if it does? All right. Well, I guess we'll leave it at that. It probably will have a cost impact, but it's undetermined what it is. Then mechanical, $93.39.
So it's adding an automatic shutoff switch to the vents in an oil-fired furnace. If the vents get blocked, then the burners would shut off automatically. We don't use these in Florida, so I don't know the cost of that.
So really, it doesn't really probably have any real use or impact in the Florida market.
Possibly in the panhandle, but I'm not familiar with the equipment they use up there. I don't think it does.
Yeah, mostly those are older homes than up here do, but they're not used anymore either.
Yeah.
Then we go to Lee reviewed 38 correlating directly and 18 overlaps in fire, and there's several here that have possibly have a cost increase. 84.70. This says possible. Go ahead, Lee. You want possible definition is more specific. So there's no actual cost number associated with it. Just that it might possibly have an increase. Anybody have any comments? Lee, you want to add anything, or that's good? All right, well then, 8474, again, it's pretty much the same kind of comment. Definition is more specific. Anything to say there? Okay. The other two are overlap, so probably save that for the next cycle if they're submitted by proponents. So that's really that's the entirety of the review of what we have to review. I think Lee may have had some additional ones, but I think Mo, you determined that those. I'm a little confused about that part, but.
What is Jeff? What's really the? What do you mean? There was a list came in for Lee, and we only selected on this. The one that says possible additional cost. So what is really the, what is really your question? I'm not trying to figure out what you're asking.
Yeah. I just thought there were other ones, but that's fine. None of them had any specifics anyway. And apparently nobody else has probably reviewed them or has anything to add to it. So it's kind of doesn't matter.
Let me ask you something. Let me explain to you. I think some of the members did go through each code change and it provided a comment, regardless if it's no cost or if there's cost or if there's saving. Some of the members focused only on those ones that provide additional cost. So it's really, that's why you see that the numbers kind of different from one member to another.
No, I understood that. And I the instruction was that, you know, just to really, you feel free to make a comment, but we're only really looking for any cost increases. Okay, well, since we've gone through them all, does anybody have any additional comments, members? Is there anything else, any ones that you're uncomfortable with or want to review, or is there any additional ones that
I want to go back through a couple, so I can add comments if I find, like, our cost, the quotes that we get from our contractors are higher than what's there. I can add them until July 1st, just to be clear.
This is Mo. Yes, you do have all the way until the end of July where you can submit additional comments. I'm sorry, the end of June.
So, Mo, is the
system going to close on the night of the 30th or the night of the 1st?
The deadline, I think it's going to be closing on July, the night of July 1st.
Okay.
So probably you have a few days left, and I will watch for that. The other thing I wanted to bring to your attention, and I'm not sure, especially for Drew's, all these comments has been inputted into the system and verified so that you can see them and so the general public can see them. I know you made some minor adjustments to some of these third changes, comments to add the square footage of the house. There's two options here if you feel like it needs to be added because it's to the comments. The system, the way it works, is that if something is verified, then a comment has to be put to need more information. Then you go back to the person who submitted the comment, and then you have to enter the 2,000 square feet into it, and then you submit it again. So there's a bunch of them. The other option would be for the staff just to add another comment saying, for Drew, this he meant to say the cost is for 2,000 square feet. It's up to you. If you feel like those comments that you pointed out need to be addressed by you, you want the staff to just put another comment to clarify, or you feel like it could be clarified at the meeting, it's up to you. I'll leave it to you. Whatever you want to do, whether you want us to send back the comment to you, or you want the staff just to add a note.
Yeah, I think they want the comment entered, so I think your question is whether staff should do it or whether they will do it. So work group, do you want to add the additional stuff, or do you want Mo to do it in some way?
Doesn't matter. You guys can decide. I'll go with whatever.
All right. If it doesn't matter, I can just for those one that you guys want to change to add the word 2000, I would add another comment to it and say, you know, for comment G1, its square footage is 2000, and those I will add additional comment to just complement the first comment. So we can do that at the staff level without sending you back the comment for you to do.
So Mo, also on 85-76, you need to also add that increases termite intrusion potential. They wanted to add that comment.
No problem. We'll add added as a comment. No problem.
Okay. And I can send you this. I highlighted the stuff they wanted added if you want. That would help you.
No, no problem. You're welcome to send the check. No problem. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions or comments from anybody? Any additional public comment? Okay, so is there a motion to approve the work group's package of recommendations on those ICO changes with a cost impact or submittal to the technical advisory committees?
So moved.
All right. Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Who was the second on the motion? It came up as a caller.
It might have been, I'm not sure actually. Who made the second?
Jeremy Stewart.
Who?
Jeremy Stewart.
Okay, Jeremy, Jeremy, yeah. Thank you. All right, that concludes the review of the cost impacts or increases for ICO changes. Does anybody have any other comments or questions?
May I make one?
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you for everybody's hard work in putting actual real life information to these. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else have anything, public or member or staff? In that case, is there a motion to adjourn?
I move.
All right, all in favor say aye.
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 It's unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your hard work, and we'll look forward to working with you in the next phase.
This conference is no longer being recorded.